So it's often said they're like the foundations of a house or a building, and it's quite a good, I think that's quite a good metaphor for them. And if we think about building anything, if we build a building on sand, it's going to collapse. So we need to build, the whole of our Dharma life, all of our Dharma practice on good foundations. So there's a quote I came across. It says, they're like the foundations of a house or building. Without them, nothing can be perfected. Therefore, cherish persistent recollection of them. This is my heart advice. So they're both seen as a foundation, but you continue to reflect upon them throughout your Dharma life. And I think this very much connects for us in the teachings of the Path of Regular Steps. Many, many, many years ago, Bhante gave a talk with the Path of Regular and Irregular Steps. And some of us are quite drawn to the Path of Irregular Steps. He did also have a path of no steps, I think, which was quite exciting. But what he was encouraging us to do in that talk, and I think in his whole kind of teaching of the Dharma, is to follow a path of regular steps, to build, to build on, build our practice up on good foundations. So it very much accords with that approach to the Dharma. And sometimes the path of irregular steps is good, and sometimes the path of no steps just comes to one. But in terms of a lifelong kind of engagement with the Dharma, a path of regular steps is a good strategy. And I think we can have a tendency to have great bursts of enthusiasm, can't we? Oh, that's great, And but we don't always, we aren't always able to sort of follow that through with continuity of interest. And we also tend to have quite high expectations, so we can have initial kind of great enthusiasm and high expectations, and that doesn't work because we expect things to happen very quickly, or we've got ideas about how we're going to change, how quickly we're going to change. And I think maybe as we mature, we're a bit more realistic. But I remember as a very young Dharma practitioner, I thought I was going to get enlightened next week when I've learnt differently over time. But the thing about that combination of kind of interest and enthusiasm and sort of high ideals and high expectations, it can so easily turn into disappointment and disillusionment. And then we can't sort of really settle into a regular meditation practice. Our minds aren't sort of settled because we're kind of all over the place. So building a firm foundation of practice is very important for us. So yes, cherish persistent recollection of them. So implied in this set of teachings and reflections is a need to reflect on them constantly and to integrate them into our lives and to begin to sort of experience them in our being, as it were. So they point to attitudes, they're a crystallization of particular reflections that we need to be kind of in touch with all the time. And we may not need to do that through a formal reflection on them daily. I mean, they're such big topics that, in a way, we're confronted with them all the time. So, we're alive, and our life has certain kind of opportunities and freedoms and so on. So, we may just be thinking about that anyway. Impermanence, we're constantly impermanence constantly impacts upon us in various ways. So that's very much part of the nature of life. We're continually acting, and our actions continually have consequences, and we reap those consequences in our life stream. And we're living in samsara, where our mental states, if you just look at the six realms psychologically, our mental states continually fluctuate dependent upon our previous actions. So as a set of teachings, it's kind of drawing on very general Buddhist teachings and kind of crystallizing them into a set of reflections. But we've probably been thinking about these things anyway. So I came across a quote by Keith Thurman, actually, who says, well, they're okay as a set of reflections, but you can't beat real experience. By which I think he meant that real life experience, real experiences of impermanence and death in our lives, for example, is going to have an impact on us, maybe a bigger impact than sitting and just reflecting about impermanence. But of course, there's a feedback process in there, and those reflections and our life experience. So we've all got life experience in these areas, that's what I'm trying to say. So in a way, when we come to do the reflections, you're drawing on your own life experience. They're also said as a set of preliminary practices, said to be more profound than the actual teachings, which is a bit odd because they are actual teachings, aren't they? But I think very much seen as a set of preliminary practices, or someone else is saying, well, actually, they're not just preliminary, they're a very profound set of teachings. And you know, perhaps there are other meditation practices which are more profound, but you won't reap the benefit of practices further on in a path unless you've really engaged in your preliminary practices. You've engaged in these four reminders because they generate good motivation for practice. So the teachings crystallised in this set of reflections are found, of course, all the way through the Dharma in early Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism, and they're crystallised into this set of reflections, particularly in Tibetan Buddhism. So they're used in that context, in that tradition, as the preliminary practices in the graded path, the Lamrim set of practices. So if you read the Dual Ornament of Liberation, for example, by Gampopa, who was a disciple of Nyingma, and also Vatisha, you've got a very early graded path book, text, applied to the graded path. And if you read books on Tibetan Buddhism, often those books will begin with some kind of exposition of the four mind turnings. So you find them in works by Tisha, by Kampopa, and it particularly in the Gelugpa tradition, one of the chief teachers is Tsongkhapa. The Tsongkhapa is the author of the poem that we're going to use throughout the retreat. And he comments on the four mind turnings quite a lot in his works. So you've probably come across them if you've read any works on Tibetan Buddhism. You've come across the four mind turnings.